Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
If Not For God with Mike Zwick today. Mike, you have an interesting take.
Yes.
Well, go where no man perhaps has gone before.
Well, I don't know about that, but I was thinking about it this week, and we were just talking about this, Robbie, and it actually talks about it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. In the Old Testament, it's Joel 2:28. It says, "And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." And then it also says it, I believe when we just said it was Acts 2:17, it says, "In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." And a lot of people, I think, when we talk about God and the Bible and what's going on today with everything with the COVID-19, coronavirus, and everything like that, and some people say, well, salvation is important, and yes, it is, and all these other things are important, but are there ways that God can speak to us today where we can clearly know that he is talking to us and that we can hear his voice? And Robbie, actually, before the show, there was a vision that you had told me that you had had.
Yeah, this wasn't during Corona, but, you know, several years ago, you know, we do these boot camps with Masculine Journey Radio, and a lot of times when things happen before the boot camp, we experience a lot of what we call warfare, that Satan obviously isn't happy that a lot of men are coming there finding out ways that they could grow closer to God and overcome some bondage that they're in. So this particular boot camp, I don't know, it seemed like I was really up against it. So I got sick. I think the thing that really got my attention was the Justice Department decided somehow or another I owed them money that I had no idea I owed them money on. Yep. Without any notice whatsoever, they started garnishing my wages, and I got this, like, 20% of your wages just, like, gone. Mm. And no explanation why, and you can't speak to a judge because it is the Justice Department. It has to do with the dealership. It was a very complicated thing, actually took years to unravel. But it hit that very week right before the boot camp, and so, as you might imagine, I was complaining to God in prayer.
Yeah.
Pulling a complete David, you know, like, what are you doing?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I see this vision. Mm-hmm. And it was clear as it could be. I mean, it was God, and he had sort of this, you know, toy race car track, you know, which for the car guy, you can see that he knows how to talk to me.
Yeah.
And what was going on is he was winding up this race car, you know, that would go on this toy track.
Mm-hmm.
And he would wind it up so tight that it wouldn't go into the curves. It would just go boom, boom, right over, you know, just boom, boom.
Mm.
And he just kept doing it. And it was very annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why don't you slow the car down so it will go through the curves, you know? And he didn't say anything, just kept winding the car up tight as it would be, and it would go boom, 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 boom.
Mm.
And I was getting madder and madder and madder and frustrated. I don't know how many times, maybe 10, 15 times he did this, maybe 7 or 8, I don't remember. But I knew this. I was totally frustrated, and all of a sudden he just says to me, "Robbie, the thrill of life,
right,
is in the curves."
Yep.
And what he meant by that, as I've really thought about it many, many times after I saw this vision, was that I'm wound up so tight.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting life to be straight and, you know, just here we go. But in the curves, you know, if you ride a motorcycle or you ski, you have to lean into the curve. And so what God is really hoping is that we'll lean into him. I mean, it's like I was telling you, last night I went out sailing at night with my wife, and we went out in the boat, and it was dark. It was beautiful, but it would have been almost no fun had my wife, I don't think I'd even done it if my wife hadn't been there with me, but we're out there together in the middle of the lake in this adventure, you know, with nothing on but the navigation lights. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was tremendously fun, but it was fun because we could share it.
Right.
And it's the same thing as it turned out, as God unraveled through the years, that whole experience with the Justice Department.
Yeah.
That it was fun when I leaned into him.
Yeah.
Even though it was difficult, even though it was painful.
Right.
But it was an adventure I got to go on with God, and I'll never forget all the outcomes that happened as a result of him working with me on the thing.
Yeah, we what you just said kind of reminded me of last week when we had the guy from Voice of the Martyrs on, and one of the things that he said was all of these Christians who they interview them who have been persecuted, they've gone to prison and they've been, you know, tortured and this and that, and he expected them to say how tough it was and how bad it was or whatever, and he said he remembered interviewing a lady who was from, I think she was from China, and she had been put in prison. And he said, oh, man, tell me about that. And she goes, oh, it was wonderful. Like, you know, that's not typically what you think of. But I was actually looking at something this morning, Robbie, and I heard it. And we always think that, you know, that it's tough for us to, you know, as Christians, to go through persecution and go through tough times. And sometimes it is, and sometimes we do have a tough time. But it also says in the book of Proverbs that the way of the transgressor is hard. So the sinner, the people who don't know God, who aren't walking with God, we always say, oh, it's so easy for them. But that's not what it says in Scripture. It says, good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. And that's Proverbs 13:15. But, you know, one of the things that I had talked to you about before the show, Robbie, was that I hear a lot of pastors saying, and I hear a lot of people saying, well, we're just praying to God right now, and, you know, this whole COVID-19 thing, things are just going to be better, and they're going to be better in the United States than they were before. And one of the things that was talking to me was that, yes, someday, if as Christians, that we're going to get to see Jesus, and we're going to get to go to heaven, and things are going to be much better. But there's nothing in Scripture that really tells us that everything in this life is going to be peachy and great. And so one of the things, and I felt like it was a word that came to me, was what if they don't get better in the United States? What if things are going to be really tough for a while? And I was actually looking, it was in Hebrews 11, and it's the chapter where, you know, we always say, well, the now faith chapter and, you know, oh, that's great and this and that. But there's a lot of parts in this chapter where people have gone through a lot of things, you know, and I'm going through it, and I'll start in verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And it says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Well, you know, you kind of read that over, and do you remember the story of where Abraham offered up Isaac? I mean, he thought he was going to have to sacrifice and kill his son because that's what God had told him to do.
You know, what's cool about that story, day before yesterday was Easter, I decided to study the word resurrection. Mm-hmm. And I like to back into words, as you know. Mm-hmm. Guess where the word resurrection in Hebrew almost has this connotation of rising early.
Sure.
So guess where the first use of that word is?
Where's that?
Abraham rose early in the morning to take Isaac.
That's right. That's right.
He did. Yeah. And that's kind of a picture of, fascinatingly to me, of that God was painting of you know, what eventually would happen on Easter. Mm-hmm. Is that Jesus was going to rise early. I mean, it just didn't rise. I don't know if you've ever put together the time frame of it.
Right.
But he rose early.
Yeah.
On
the third day, because when they got there in the morning, he was already gone. Yeah.
And so I don't know if you ever thought about it, but if you're like me and you like to hunt and fish, you know, it's just not hard to get up early on a morning that you're going to go fishing.
Yeah, because you want to do it.
Right. It's not hard to get up early on a day that you want. you know, and if you get to the point, and I work at it to get my quiet time where I'm quite as excited to go study the Bible as I am to go fishing, if I'm completely transparent, you know.
Yeah.
But Jesus rose early that morning, and so did Abraham. And
so do you think it was like a foreshadowing of...
Oh, I do. I do. You know, there's so much about the whole Isaac, you know, the crown of thorns and this sheep that would be stuck in the thorns. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, oh my goodness, look at all the imagery that's there. But the point that getting back to what you're talking about for me is that through the vision that he gave me, this idea of, if I am leaning into God enough, in spite of how curvy the road may get ahead, and it may get really curvy, then I'm going to want to rise early, because the adventure with God is like, man, what, you know, what are we going to experience today, and what am I going to see you do with what it is that I'm going to face today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The you know, and then it goes to, in verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. It says by verse 24 of Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In other words, it would have been easier in the temporary time for Moses just to say, hey, yeah, the son of Pharaoh's, what, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so I had a dream several months ago before any of this stuff had started. And in my dream, it was very clear where it spoke to me, and it said that America was in absolute chaos. And I woke up from the dream, and I don't know if you've ever had a bad dream, Robbie, but I was just like sweating, and I told my wife, and I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And, you know, I guess what I kind of—
Can you take us into that dream a little bit? So when you said America was in complete chaos,
correct,
you know, well, we got to go to a break, so when we come back, you know, we're going to find out if you're like me, inquiring minds need to know, Mike, what in the world were you involved in that dream? We'll be right back with so much more, and I'm thinking this is going to be an example of if not forgotten.
Yeah.
If you're trying to sell your home and you're sick of your realtor telling you they can't get your price, thank Todd Harrison. Call me. To sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles, call 919-274-5532. Hi, this is Todd Harrison, and this is a great time to find out what your house is worth. Call me at 919-274-5532. Together, we can sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles. The Todd Harrison team is affiliated with Keller Williams Realty.
Welcome back to If Not For God with Mike Zwick. Today's show, we're talking about your old men.
Old men
will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. So I was feeling young because I got to
see. How were you?
But anyway, we were talking about Mike's dream, where he saw, you know, some months ago, you know, America in total chaos. And when we left our hero, he was going to explain to us, what does that mean, chaos? What were you actually seeing that had you freaked out?
And of course, as the months have gone by, and of course, as the months go by, you remember less and less. But I remember it was a reporter, and she was going up to a lady on the side of the road. This lady had a machine gun, and it was just, I don't know if there was like smoke. It was just, Robbie, it was like nothing I had ever seen before. And it was it was almost like something that you had seen on television maybe 20 years ago about, you know, what it was like in these third world countries. Now, I don't know all of the details. I don't know exactly what all of that means. But that's what it said. And I believe it was a foreshadowing at least of what is going on right now. And this is what I was talking about before, was that just because we're Christians and just because we're believers doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy for us.
Well, getting back to the dream.
Okay.
So you have this dream, which clearly you what you're seeing is somebody that's protecting themselves against looters, or you know that apparently they just complete chaos, meaning that people are just rampaging across the United States.
They're going crazy. Yeah.
Right. Did you ask God what it meant?
Well, I felt. Well, it's interesting that you say that because. On December 4th, there was a met a lady through insurance. She's an insurance client, and she had told me 50 years ago when she was just a young lady, she said that her grandmother had actually said to her, she said, "Now, honey," she said, "I'm not going to see this in my lifetime." She said, "But in your lifetime, there is going to be an African American president," and she said, "Once he gets out of office, there's going to be war in this country." December 4th, as you know, Robbie, was before any of this stuff was going to happen. Right. I mean, if you can think about it, just as early as December, even in January, they were talking about this is the greatest economy that we've ever seen. I mean, you know, things are just great in this country. Things are awesome. You know, the stock market was constantly reaching new highs. And I think, as you probably know in Scripture, where it says, just when they say peace and security, then sudden destruction shall fall on them. But I'm sure you've told me that you've had times in your life where you kind of thought that you were just kind of coasting along, and then all of a sudden, especially when you were going to do something for God, right, Robbie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, another boot camp we were talking about, I had a dream of actually being sexually molested.
Yeah.
And I woke up with this horrible leg cramp and kind of put it together that this whole boot camp had something going on with that. And when I asked God for an interpretation similarly,
okay,
he said, "You're coming up against this spirit of debauchery, and you need to be praying against it because it's headed your way."
Yeah.
And it was a forewarning. And, you know, to make an extremely long story short of all that we saw as it turned out, you know, there were some guys that came into one of the cabins that we were really concerned about that weren't supposed to be in that cabin.
Mm.
And we kind of ushered them out of that cabin. And we found out 2 weeks after we left the camp that there was another group that was in that camp that was there over that same idea of the guy who was put on the camp had been sexually molested at that camp, and that he was putting this on for other people that had been sexually molested. And so it's fascinating to me that God gave us this advance warning.
Sure.
Clearly, that you are going to face this particular spirit, and this is what you need to be praying against. And whether that had to be for the people that were in camp with us or for the other 100 people that were involved in that other event, you know, I'll never know this side of heaven, but I do know that we were praying very specifically against that, and we saw evidence of what it turned out to be. You know, you had no idea that that was going to happen.
So it sounds to me, from what we've both said about the dreams and the visions, that a lot of times when God gives somebody a dream or a vision, maybe not always, but it's not just to be like, "Oh, this is cool," but there's a purpose for it that, hey, there's some way that he's trying to get our attention. I told you about another dream that I had, actually a couple more dreams that I had, but one of them was when we first moved into our house in Mebane. I had a very clear dream that somebody was breaking into the house and that they were going throughout our whole house. And so I woke up the next morning and I said, I told my wife, I said, "Amanda," I said, "I think somebody's going to break into the house and I think they're going to do it soon." And, you know, of course, you know, her being the spiritual warrior that she is, she said, "Oh yeah, of course it is, Mike. And you're absolutely right. We need to be prepared." No, she said, "Mike, that's not going to happen. Don't worry." But sure enough, later on in the week, the house gets broken into. Another dream that I had was my oldest son, Michael. When I had a dream that we had gone to the mall, and then all of a sudden I had looked at the bottom, we were on the second floor, and I had looked on the first floor, and he had fallen and he had died. And so what had happened was I had prayed, and I said, I woke up that night and something told me to start praying. And I started praying and I said, "God, please don't let this happen." something just very clearly told me, Robbie. It said to, there is a book that is in your house, and you need to get the book out of your house. So I went right down, and I took the book, and I got it out of the house.
Well, what book was that?
It was just a book that I had seen the book recently, and it wasn't mine. I didn't even know anything much about it. But I just said, oh, that's not a book that I would like in the house. And so what I did was I took the book, I got it out of the house. Something about Shades of Gray or something.
Oh, okay.
And it was an older book from, you know, 10, 15 years ago that somebody else had had. But it was just, and I said, this doesn't belong here. And I took it out of the house, and literally 2 days later, my son was moving something, and he actually broke his leg. But something tells me that if I hadn't have removed that book out of the house, well, I think it could have been a lot worse. You said you've had other dreams as well, though.
You know, as we have experienced, you know, God on all sorts of levels, you know, most of mine, you know, literally were along those lines of a spirit that God wanted me to be aware of different, you know, things of bondage in my life. But I think the whole subject, obviously, you know, it's an interesting thing. A lot of people would say, now you've gone from, you know, just the word, but now you've gotten weird on us.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, the interesting thing is that this is so biblical.
Right.
And it's so clear.
Right.
That in the last days, you know, this is Peter saying this.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know, that this is going to happen. And clearly, you know, Peter had a few dreams in his life, and Joel and all these people had been seeing him all. And so the question it gets back to that I think is worth discussing is the Bible a book of examples?
Uh-huh.
Or is it a Bible, a book of exceptions?
Okay.
In other words, is this what we expect life to be like with dreams and visions?
Sure.
Or do we expect life to be, this is what they were doing. This, they were in a different, you know, time. You know, their time has passed. We don't live in that time anymore.
Right.
And so, you know, I have a number of friends that they keep a prayer journal right by their nightstand.
Sure.
And when they have one of these dreams, they begin to write it down. And
I
have my journal, and actually it'd be really, really handy to have that with me today, because
sure.
I probably turned to 40 or 50 different dreams that I wrote down over the years.
Absolutely.
Because one of the things that Satan is really, really good at,
mm-hmm,
is stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And he steals your memories. Anytime that God to the rescue, if not for God,
right,
you know, he's right there to make sure that it's not on the tip of your tongue when you really need it. So, you know, to answer your question, you know, right this very second, another one hasn't come to my mind, but if one does, then I will let you know. But I do think that it's critical, because I'm sure some people are thinking, man, what are they talking about? This has gotten weird.
Right.
And I don't want you to discount, because I've interviewed so many people that have had so many things like what you've described happen to them in their life, that this is, and biblically, it's completely, you know, evident that this is what people in biblical times experienced. Why would God be different then than he is now?
Well, he's not. And in Scripture clearly says, he says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we either believe that or we don't. I mean, throughout the whole point of my life and what everything that I've seen is that, have you ever, and you've probably seen this years ago, you used to see the license plates, because they said the Missouri was the show me state. So that people wanted, show me, I want to see it. And time and time and time again, not only in my life, but in the lives of others as well, that God will absolutely show up and show out, and he will show us. And it says, in Scripture, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And I think sometimes in our lives, Robbie, that we have to take the time to really seek God out. And if we're not taking the time, whether, like you say, in the mornings or whenever it is, but just time in prayer and to seek the face of God, that it's going to be harder for us to seek, for him to speak to us if we're not listening. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when I think of visions, you know, I've had a couple other that just kind of really freak me out. Like, mm-hmm. really? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have heard me tell, and I think I've even told the story of Johnny Hendricks that was dying, and I shared Christ with him,
yeah.
right? And how, you know, he had 4 days late but right on time. Well, he died, you know, a few weeks after that story. The day he died, God showed me clearly that I was going to speak at his funeral. I saw myself speaking at his funeral. Now, realize I'm a car salesman. I mean, a car dealer. Yeah. I'm not a preacher.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, God, are you kidding me? I'm be speaking at somebody's, because, you know, it's one thing to speak in a church occasionally or to do other things, but to speak at somebody's actual funeral, you know, to actually be the main speaker at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw it as clear as it could be. And within an hour of me seeing that vision, mm-hmm. I got a call from Johnny Hendricks' wife. Robbie, would you do Johnny's funeral?
Yeah.
I mean, and it was clear as it could possibly be. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I was going to speak. And I even told Tammy. And that, you know, one of those things I did write down in my journal, like, I told Tammy, you're not going to believe this, but I'm speaking at Johnny Hendricks' funeral. So she had a similar thing when it came to us teaching special needs. She was attending a special needs thing at our church, and she had a vision of us teaching special needs, and she knew right then that it would be our calling. And 20 years later, we're still teaching special needs at Calvary Baptist Church.
If Not for God.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to If Not for God with Mike Zwick. For more shows, subscribe on iTunes to If Not for God. For more information on Mike or to contact him, go to ifnotforgod.life.